You could use that hot dog as a belt.
But why would you when you could eat it? Also, you'd get cheese on yourself. You'd have cheese pants.
Your pants would be held up.
By cheese.
Hey.
Just get a regular belt.
Better than
belt,
walk around
stupid.
With your pants at your ankles like a fucking
we
asshole.
We all had wearing a hot dog. At some point.
Just buy a belt.
Russ is wearing hot dogs
right
now.
Go to Target. They're $12.
What kind of man wears Armor hot dogs?
I don't leave my apartment every morning until my waist is slathered in melted cheese.
No.
Slathered.
All right.
No, Russ. Oh, God.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dimebag Podcast. I'm Tyler Wilkinson. We're joined today by Russ Steinberg.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, you have to say hello. Yeah. They can't see you.
No, sorry. I'm doing a draft in out of the park. I was distracted.
Sorry. And Peter Bard.
Hi.
And Megan Bard.
Hello.
Monday Meech is not here. Rude as hell.
Just a failure.
I can't even believe it.
Fucking
it
rude. Failure.
After we worked so hard to establish the nickname. So we haven't done this since we did our immediate recap when Dan Hurley was hired. So a lot has happened, even though it's hard to remember. So
I moved.
You moved.
Do we think people are aware that we broke the Hurley news?
Should we reiterate it?
I think we need to.
And underscore that we were correct about the $3.1 million a year that Rothstein insinuated we were wrong about. We were not. We were not wrong about that.
He didn't insinuate we were wrong. He said we were wrong.
I've yet to be wrong, but theoretically it's possible. It could happen at some point about something.
That seems wrong.
Yeah, maybe not. So basically we have new players and we have new coaches. Which one do you guys want to talk about first?
Players, because that's easier.
Okay. Drive us through the newbies, Peter.
I feel like I'm on the fence about Smith.
Taron Smith.
Because I feel like... He looks a lot like Antoine Anderson, like as a player.
I think he's
better than Anderson, but I think that if he's getting 25 minutes a night,
right,
it might not be great.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like if he's getting fourth guard minutes, like, okay, but I think we're relying pretty heavily on Altari Gilbert being functional this year. And obviously with Jalen and Vital coming back, that does make... There are a lot of guard minutes to go to those two guys, but still, I will be concerned if we're relying on Taron Smith for more than, like, 10 minutes a game.
I don't know what they're going to do with Wilson. I mean, I feel like...
What if Sid can shoot? What if Sid just starts bombing threes?
Maybe.
Well, if anybody could shoot, it helps.
Right.
Or no matter who it is.
Literally
anybody.
I would
like to see Christian Vital shooting in an offense, some form of offense, so that most of his three-point shots aren't just prayers heaved up at the end of the shot clock. And my hope is that Dan Hurley will bring that with him from Rhode Island.
So since you brought up Vital, I guess we should say that earlier today, he basically affirmed that he is withdrawing from the NBA draft and returning to UConn. So if anyone missed it, that happened. Surprise.
The business that's unfinished is convincing anyone he should be paid to play basketball.
There's work to be done. I'll pay him.
The uppercase half of No Escalators wanted to underscore that Hurley managed to keep all of the players from last year's roster that were expected to come back. Obviously, Larrier basically said he was going to leave, you know, before the season started. So I will.
That is wild.
He did.
That's
and
really impressive.
All of these players have decided to stay, and I think it's been a nice direction because it seemed like at the end of the season, everyone was absolutely miserable and Jalen wasn't sure if he was coming back, and Hurley's managed to come in and like convince everyone that like he can turn the sucker around next year. So I'm encouraged probably far more than I should be about a coach who has yet to coach a game at UConn.
That is crazy. I mean, honestly, yeah. I thought probably at the end of the year, I mean, I thought Ollie was probably coming back, but I would have guessed 3 transfers minimum.
Yeah, that's where I was at. I think that was pretty much where the over-under was 3 people.
And I mean, would have been pretty shocked to see Eric Cobb come back this year if Ollie was still here.
Yeah. I'm shocked he's coming back with Dan Hurley here. But, I mean, Hurley at his introductory press conference said the first thing he was going to do is recruit the current roster, and he did it. I mean, you can make a pretty good argument. The guys on last year's roster were not, you know, Division One or at least Power Six level players. I get paid every time I say Power Six, which would honestly, you know, make you think that, you know, maybe it's best if they do move on. But, you know, I think we've all basically decided early on that the best thing to do was fill every spot on this roster as soon as possible and then just get to work recruiting the 2019 class. So,
which, yeah,
I'm down with it.
Pretty clearly what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And especially when you get hired at a new school, like your first job is to re-recruit your entire team. Your second job is to bring in a coaching staff that you can work with. And Hurley did both. And judging by the coaching staff that he has put together, I don't think reasonably in these first couple of months or however long it's been that Hurley has had, I don't think you could reasonably expect him to have done much better than he's already done. Even if the guys that he signed, Yakwe Smith and Adams aren't exactly, they weren't the highest names on the board.
I think too, like by hiring the staff he's hired, you've got Tom Moore, Kenya
Hunter,
Kamani,
and Kamani Young. And between that group, you've basically targeted all of New England, New York, New Jersey, and the DMV, which, you know, if you're going to strategize what's the easiest to recruit to UConn, like that's the region where the name's going to have the most pull. And there's obviously a ton of talent there. So it makes sense coming out of the gate, especially because also Hurley in particular has been recruiting to New England to really focus on the Northeast Mid-Atlantic region.
And that's a staff that can recruit.
Mm.
I mean, Kamani Young is an excellent recruiter, and he's got a lot of AAU ties in the New York area. And of course, Hurley does as well with his family. Tom Moore is seen as a really good recruiter. Kenya apparently as well, though I don't know quite as much about them. I'd like to know how good the staff is at actually developing players once they arrive.
Yeah.
But for now, at least, this staff looks a lot better in terms of recruiting, at least, than the previous one.
Yeah, and to double down on the thing we just said about, you know, clearly they had a plan about what to do this offseason. You know, hiring the staff reflects a plan as well. The plan Megan just said of where to target, you know, who to go after, guys that have certain AAU ties and regional ties, which is just really refreshing to, you know, see a UConn coach come in with an actual strategy.
Yeah, I like something, strategy.
Which makes me, you know, at least hopeful that it'll carry over to impactful strategy on the court.
Yeah, yeah. It's a man with a plan, and I just, again, irrationally hopeful about this team. Like, it's gonna be rough if they, like, come out of the gate and, like, lose to whoever their cupcake opponents are at the beginning of the year, but I'm already ready for, like, you know, we're going to the tournament. It's going to be great.
It's hard to really have expectations for this year because on one hand, you have more or less the same roster as last year.
Right.
But on the other hand, the American is going to be so much worse next year than it was this year. So like that, maybe it'll give you some hope that at least this team could pile up some wins and like keep us interested, you know, well into the conference season.
Yeah, that's my hope.
And speaking of on the court, going back to what you were saying, Russ, about, you know, Adams and Smith and Yakwe not being the best guys on the board. But I think if the goal is to build for the future, those are the guys, you know, Smith and Yakwe are one-year guys who bring a skill that will be helpful. Yakwe probably wouldn't have been my pick, but if you can turn him back into what he was as a freshman, then he'll be useful. Adams, I think, could be a pretty good player, especially if he actually can shoot.
Yeah, which he's getting billed as this offseason.
You know, but so did Scotty Harrelson. So who the fuck knows?
Right.
I mean, I will say he was somebody that Hurley had been recruiting to URI, and he's been doing a pretty good job of selecting guards that turn into good players since he started picking ones to come to URI. So I can't be mad at it.
Totally. And I mean, if 4 years from now, Brendan Adams is what? Terrence Smith will be on this team? Cool. Whatever.
Yeah.
So tell us about Yakwe, Peter.
Kind of a weird career at St. John's. He was a reasonably heralded recruit coming in, a top 100 guy. Was pretty good as a freshman. Showed some promise. Good shot blocker.
Great shot blocker as a freshman.
Went completely to shit over the last 2 years. Basically, barely played most of the year last year. I mean, he just, all of his skills evaporated. So it's, I don't know.
He seems to me like a good guy that you would use to fill that 12th or 13th spot on your team. Someone who clearly has promise. Like you said, he was a pretty heralded recruit, relatively at least. Had a good freshman year. You might as well use that spot to see if maybe someone on your staff could bring back out what he had shown in the past. And if not, it's not like UConn has nothing at that position to begin with. So, you know, worst case, he doesn't play much, gets buried on the bench, and UConn's playing the guys they played last year.
But also, shot blocking was a skill that was like completely missing from last year's roster. So even if that's all he brings, if they could just resuscitate that singular skill out of him, I feel like it would at least add something new and interesting.
It would be really nice if between Yakwe and Cobb and Carlton and Whaley and Diarra and Polly
and Quint
they could put together 70 minutes a game between the group of them. Like, you know, we shouldn't, with that many bigs, and some of those guys aren't completely untalented. You know, maybe Polly is a decent player next year. He was not supposed to be, he sucked last year. He sucked ass last year. But he wasn't supposed to be shitty. Like, maybe it was just bad coaching and a dysfunctional locker room. And he wasn't progressing at all. Maybe this year he'll be the player he was supposed to be. I mean, if any one of those guys significantly exceeds expectations, we're going to be in decent shape. And we've got the guards. If Sid's anywhere near as advertised, this could be a 25-win team if things go well.
There's just so many ifs, and like that's where you keep, like, I keep ending up, but like when it's like, okay, so what are the expectations for next year? What could they do? And it's, you know, who doesn't turn into mashed potatoes, and you know, all of these things that you can't quantify because there's a coaching change, and it's too hard to tell how much of the problems from last year were about the personnel or whatever, and how much of it was about, you know, what was going on behind the scenes. And I don't know that there's going to be any way to have any clue until we're, you know, 6-8 games into the season.
I do think it's a good sign, and I think we talked about this on the Hurley podcast we did, that when Hurley was introduced, he said that he basically looked at this roster and said that he could make a decent team out of it. It's not like he was coming in and encouraging some players to transfer. Like, he saw quality in at least a lot of these players. And I think we saw it too at times this year. Like, I think, especially with the bigs, if you take each of their strong points and like assemble them into one player, you end up with someone really good.
Totally.
Hopefully Hurley can actually get the best out of each of these guys. And it looks like at least he thinks that he can.
We're going to commit a lot of fouls this year.
Well, we committed a lot of fouls last year.
Luckily, there's 14 guys to play in the front.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, but people are going to be taking a lot of free throws against us, which makes it tougher to play good defense.
Yeah.
Didn't we have like an unreasonably good free throw defense?
I think
he just did not shoot a higher percentage.
No such thing as free throw defense.
Someone can correct me.
Why I did like the air quotes.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was a staple of Ollie's tenure, which I always found really funny.
Yeah, it was really strange.
It's like anytime anybody got around him, they got worse at basketball.
I mean, that's just osmosis. Not incorrect, though.
We got worse at covering basketball.
I mean, well, worst case scenario, you know that Jalen and CV can play 40 minutes a game each. Like, There you go. There's like 80 minutes.
I mean, 40 minutes is a lot of minutes. I don't think they can play 40 minutes a game.
I mean, Jalen pretty much did all season last year.
And
last,
did like, not consistently play well. Like, those guys, yeah. One of the reasons they shot like ass is because they were playing too much.
I think he, you know.
Adams played 38 minutes a game. Vital just a bit less than 32. I'd like to see Adams playing about 33 minutes a game. I'd also like to see Gilbert playing
33 minutes a game.
Minutes a game.
I'd if like to see him play in 20 games.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's focus on number of games before minutes real quick, because he played something like 25 minutes a game this past year, but you know.
He had some special bone graft surgery, so supposedly his shoulder is made of reinforced mashed potatoes now.
He got new bone.
Whose shoulder did he get?
I don't know.
They took my shoulder away.
It's probably like a piece of bone from like his hip or something. That's usually how they do that. They like take a bone somewhere else.
If Russ's shoulder went to Gilbert and it works, it'll be the best thing Russ will ever do.
I was going to say, maybe that's why they brought in these new guards. Like Terrence Smith is just going to show up. Sans shoulder.
Are we taking like different body parts from these new players and giving them to Tariq Gilbert?
Yeah. I'd be okay with it.
This just got real weird. Real quick.
All right. Seriously, though, all I'm saying is Altari Gilbert is a Frankenstein-esque monster.
Frankensteinberg, because he has my shoulder.
It's going to be someone in our mentions like, oh, it's actually Dr. Frankensteinberg. Says, the monster was not the doctor.
Shut up, nerd.
Or was it?
Oh. Bum, bum, bum.
Actually, it's Frankensteinberg.
Call me Stein.
Meech isn't here. So instead of doing a fancy accent, J. Tim's, I think we should just tell everyone we were at J. Tim's. J. Timothy's Tavern in Plainville, Connecticut.
I would like to say, as a regular Earth human,
yep.
Those, honestly, like, this isn't even like, they did give me free buffalo sauce, so, you know.
Thanks, Nikki.
Full disclosure. But those wings are fucking delicious.
They seriously are amazing wings.
That sweet chili was, oh my God, I would eat 1,000 of them.
Let's recap our order for the people. So we got
all of the wings.
We literally.
End of discussion.
Literally all of the wings. They have 4 flavors and we ordered all of them. Dirt style, of course.
Of course.
And we had nachos.
My favorite.
The nachos were okay. Although I'll be honest, like the nachos were more like they took up room in my body as a vessel for wings.
A bunch of chicken.
Yeah, and like, yeah. You know, we just needed more wings, I think.
I think the nachos, had they been served to us at any other restaurant, I think would have been phenomenal. But it was a disruption to the whole wing experience.
Right. The nachos were nachos. The wings were, you know, a religious experience.
Sublime. Yeah.
I wish that they had more flavors just because I want to try more things that they make. Like those flavors are delicious, but that I'm greedy. I want more.
Right.
Yeah.
I also enjoyed our cocktails. There were several cocktails that we had.
There were a lot of fun like iced teas and lemonades on the menu.
Yeah,
and
which I enjoy thoroughly.
I did enjoy them.
And
they were pretty tasty.
And Russ and I had a local beer beforehand that was made.
We did.
I don't know, inspired by the art of J. Timothy's. Some sort of collaboration.
Like they tasted like buffalo wings.
It's like, you're like, wow, I can really tell where they throw the chicken corpses.
They tasted like dirt because they were dirt wings.
But it was great. Yeah. And it was and really fun hanging out with Nikki, who told us a great Christian Leitner story.
Yeah.
If anybody out there, if you were thinking Christian Leitner is like a chud, well, if you'd heard this story, you would
confirmed.
Know that that's true. He is, in fact,
confirmed.
A dildo in real life. Yes. We should have Nikki come on the podcast sometime and tell that story.
We should. We won't spoil it.
I just want more wings. I just want a pile of wings in front of me right now. That is what I would like.
I would like to die being crushed to death by those wings. Trying to eat my way out.
I'd like to go out choking on a wing. Yeah. Just winging my face and then... done.
It's not a tragedy to die doing what you love.
And that was our fun-filled day at J. Timothy's. We were supposed to be going to watch UConn baseball, and they got rained out.
That was so sad. And people got Hooksy hats, and I didn't, and I'm extra sad about that.
Hmm. But we eat chicken. Also,
yeah. Also, if you go to J. Timothy's, you should do a back-to-back photo with the big guy in the entrance that I did, and send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you your goat's tickets because we need to give those away.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, if you send us a picture from J. Timothy's.
Essentially, let's just put this on the record right now. If you send us anything that is, you know, anything. Yard goats ticket worthy, period, like, we're not even going to set parameters. Just send us things and we will decide that. Like, be proactive about it. And we'll give
go
you...
out and buy a goat and show it to us.
And we'll, and we'll send you a pair of free yard goats tickets and a sticker.
Consume a goat. So what else we got?
Do we get any questions? Did anybody ask us any questions?
Yeah. So, well, since we have Peter on the podcast, let's answer of the recruiting ones. So there's a few. One is from at Andrew Bloom 95, another at Husky Patriot. Essentially, they're just asking, who should UConn be looking at in 2019?
It's pretty hard right now to see who, like, who are our good options. Yeah, I know I've heard that we've got a really good shot with Jaden Dallaire.
That's the in Connecticut.
Loomis. He's at Loomis Chafee. I think he could probably play the three for us, but probably mostly at the four. I know a lot of people are hoping we're going to get
Kofi Cockburn,
Precious Achiuwa,
Jalen. I don't know how to say this guy's last name.
Leck. I think it's just Leck.
But I don't think that's going to happen. That doesn't sound likely at all.
Will not happen.
I would love to get some Cockburn, though.
It'll be interesting to see as this really starts to ramp up, like, who starts to pop out. And who
I would like a point guard named Rocket. I am on record. Rocket Watts, gimme. I guess he's a shooting guard. Whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
He doesn't quite fit the geographical profile, but he fits my naming profile.
And also, he's a four-star player, so according to 247.
What about a cock?
What about Major Magic?
Are you guys just picking them for their names now?
What? No.
Well, no. These are guys that
a cock a cock is good.
Yeah.
And I think that we are legitimately in on him.
Yes.
I think that they're hoping that they get him, and I think it might be either a cock a cock or Dallaire, but maybe both.
What about you can't cock and Kofi Cockburn?
Yeah, I don't. Oh man, that's too many cocks.
But seriously, do they have a shot at Cockburn?
I don't think so.
And
I mean,
same with Achiuwa.
Say that again.
Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I haven't heard much to indicate that they think that they're really in on those guys, but.
You know, Jalen's graduating. There's a lot of uncertainty in the front court. Sid is basically the only wing we have. Like, what's the biggest priority? Where do you want the best recruit to come from? Front court, back court?
I mean, I definitely back court. Just because that's, if you're going to win in college basketball, you need people who can shoot and handle the ball. And you can throw together a front court. But I'm not sure, like, who those guys are going to be right now. I feel like we haven't made a ton of progress that I've heard of with many guards at this point. So, I don't know. I'm not sure who I really think we've got. Rocket Watts would be ideal on a number of levels, but I don't think he's going to leave Michigan. There's probably a couple of guys we're going to end up with that we haven't talked about at all yet, that we haven't even offered yet. I mean, if I had to guess, and I think 2020 will be the first year that, like, we really see this staff settled recruiting. Like, they're kind of already behind schedule on this one, just because, I mean, you know, obviously when there's a changeover like this, you've got everybody else has been recruiting this class already for a while. So I think they're going to be, you know, they'll probably be a late signing. I would guess we'll probably get somebody in the spring that shakes out somewhere else. And I'm hoping it's a good guard or two, but we'll see what happens. I think 2020 we're going to be able to start recruiting a lot more effectively.
I would just like to see a post player who I'm not mad at all the time.
You just have to have lower expectations. That's what my parents did.
True. Can confirm.
All right. What else we got? Oh, wait. So Susan Herbst is leaving.
Yes. Yeah, and so is Beth Getz.
Beth Getz is taking a promotion at a smaller school. I wouldn't be surprised if we see her again.
I would like that. I would like that.
I think she goes to Ball State. And in a couple of years, let's say Benedict goes somewhere else, I think that they would definitely look at her. Though maybe she's angling to get a Big Ten job.
She's angling to get the witch job?
Just any Big Ten job. I mean, She has Big Ten roots. She probably should have gotten the Minnesota job.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wants to be closer to Ish El Amin.
She's hoping Khalid shows up.
I mean, I always want to see Khalid El Amin, if at all possible. Were there any other questions that were any good?
Okay, so as we just said, Susan Herbst is leaving. Here is a question from Mike Taylor, who has too many numbers in his Twitter handle for me to mention. Chances new president would put an end to UConn football in terms of P5 aspirations?
That's a trick question. There already are no P5 aspirations. But I don't think that they're going to change the path anytime soon.
I don't either. They're gonna ride this one out.
Yeah. Until
right into the toilet.
Until Benedict leaves.
I think so, yeah. At least.
If he leaves or fucks it up bad enough to get fired, it's probably the end.
Maybe UConn Villanova.
That was I was trying to do the light Susan Herbst question before the heavy thinking one. Grade Herbst's tenure at UConn. That's from Peter, who is at the Big Hop 13.
I think she did about as well as could reasonably be expected.
I mean, as far as academics, UConn has improved tremendously under her tenure, so I have to give her credit for that.
Yeah, but sometimes people have to drive to school when it's snowing. So,
well, it's so funny that the students think she's like inaccessible, and I was there when Philip Austin was there, and like y'all don't know.
I could not have told you who our president was.
I had no idea.
You guys do not know. You do not know.
Like if you're a current UConn student and that's the only college president you've ever known, I don't care what you think. Like, you haven't been paying attention long enough. You know what one college president was like, and you know that there were things that you didn't like about her. That's it. You do not know the things about her that are good because you did not see them be terrible in other college presidents.
Well, and like,
and so then somehow worse in other ones.
So we got the rec center that's being built now. It's actually ahead of schedule, which is probably a first in the history of UConn construction. Also, all of the stuff they did at Gamble, which took forever to get done, but eventually did get done. So, I mean, I think overall, I mean, yeah, are we in a P5? No, but I don't think Susan really...
There was nothing Susan Herbst was going to do that was going to get us in a P5.
By the time she got here, the cards had been played. Like,
she could have fired Pasqualoni a year earlier. Couldn't have
heard. That's not really her job. School presidents don't fire football coaches.
Do you think she hired more athletic coaches than any president before
her? She must
be
so sick of hiring coaches. So sick of it. She just wants to go be a teacher. She's like, I'm done with this shit. I'm out. I'm going to go teach poli-sci.
She should be governor of Connecticut.
I would like to hire somebody who has been a college president. That would be my ideal.
There are
someone...
So
who
like,
has run a university, preferably a public research university, and, you know, that people like. That would be good.
Anyways, I think Susan Herbst did a good job.
I think she did a good job.
I think she did a good job.
Yeah. Official Dimebag position. Susan Herbst did a good job.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Dimebag podcast. You can file your complaints at HR. And we will remedy the situation. I'm sorry about that. All right. Goodbye, everything.